Ask you to do the call to worship with us, if you don't mind. Hymn number 174, His Name is Wonderful. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time with thankful hearts for all the things that you have done for us in our lives. We thank you for this church, Lord, and for what it means to us and to our community. We pray your richest blessings on us today as we meet to worship you and to hear your word. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will be with Larry as he stands before us. Give him strength, give him wisdom, give him the words that you would have us to hear, and open our hearts that we can hear those words and apply them to our lives. In your Son's name we pray, amen. Can you please stand with us as we sing Great is Thy Faithfulness, hymn number 140. Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Made it to sharing of joys and concerns. Been some time since I stood here. I do remember it as a young person, and I'll talk about that later today. Do we have any joys first? Any joys? Yes, Don.
Thank you. Oh, turn me down. So good to hear that Becky's doing better back at home. I'll try to lower my voice a little. It's just a joy. It's a joy to be here. There are some folks that are not here right now that they're in heaven, but they're not here with us. And that's a joy that they're there, but it's a joy for me to be here to look out and see you, my church family. Any concerns? I can tell you that David is doing better. I think he's looking forward to get back, and he will be back next Sunday, barring any problems. Please pray for Wanda. She's still struggling with some issues with the knees and a shoulder where she fell. So just keep her in your prayers. And then this morning we had expected Nancy to show. And Nancy, she didn't make it Sunday school. She didn't make it to church. So we know that she's has some issues at home. And keep Nancy, please, in your prayers. Any others? All right, let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we lift those up today to you, that you would put your arms around them, hold them, help them, comfort them, and be with them. Those who have recently lost loved ones, Lord, be with the family. We recently lost a member of our church and ask that you would be with him, with his family, and comfort him or comfort the family. We know he's in comfort with you, Lord, and he loved you very much. Lord, guide and direct us as we go forth and listen to you We pray that you would touch each one of us as we move forward this week, as we make contact with those in, out there in the community, in our lives. We ask that we would be a witness to them as you would allow us to be. Again, be with David, be with Wanda, be with Nancy. Guide and direct us in all that we do. These things we pray in your name, and we pray your wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would the ushers come forward at this time? Oh, sorry, got a hymn. Okay. I need to look at the... What
Let's stand and turn to hymn number 327, Crown Him with Many Crowns. These were the songs you picked out.
Ushers, would you come forward at this time? Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless those that are here today, that they would be able to give what they can give, Lord, to you, and that what we get from our church, Lord, we ask that you'd guide and direct us as we go about using your money, Lord, in our church and in our community. All these things we pray in your name. And as always, your will be done. Amen.
Remain standing as we sing the song that Scarlett has already so beautifully played for us, How Great Thou Art.
My soul, my sweet.
And to match what I was what I was wanting to talk about. And then last night, believe it or not, this, a scripture finally came to me. I'm not sure it's 100%, but it's a scripture that I feel like God put in my heart. And it's from John 3, and it's John 3:16 is where it starts. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. There is no judgment awaiting those who trust Him, but those who do not trust Him have already been judged for not believing in the only Son of God. Their judgment is based on this fact. The light from heaven came into the world, but they loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. They hate the light, because they want to sin in the darkness. They stay away from the light for fear their sins will be exposed and they will be punished. But those who do what is right come to the light gladly, so everyone can see that they are doing what God wants. I titled my, I call it a sermonette. That's what we did back in my younger days. They said they were sermonettes. I entitled it My Life with Christ, because that's what I want to do here today, is to share my life with Christ with my church family. To get you where I was at, I was born on August 24th, 1948, to Arville and Polly. She was a Cooper McNally. And that's where my Christian life started. Okay? And you'll see more of that. Oh, how I wish I could remember more about that day that I was born. I guess a lot of us would. I'd really like to know what went on other than what just I hear about. But unfortunately, we don't. I was told that Mom and Dad were pretty excited. Now, that's what I was told, that they were excited. You know, my first memories, and some people say, do you really remember that? And I said, all I can say is in my mind, I do remember this. And I was maybe 4 or 5. I remember being in the side of the yard at our home on Ridge Avenue. I was chasing butterflies, or who knows, it might have been another bug, but in my mind it was butterflies. And I was there with my Aunt Mary Sue, who was Mom's sister. And that's the memory. And it pops in my head all the time. And I hope you have memories like that as well. The story that Dad told me one time in relation to our life was, it was winter time, bad winter. We were going to the church on Kingston Avenue. If you're not sure where that's at, we'll talk about that again here in a little bit, and I'll let you know. But it was a Saturday night. The roads got covered with snow. Dad said everything shut down. Of course, we didn't have a car, so it really didn't matter the next morning. But he got us up. He said, we're going to church. Not going to let a little snow keep us out. So we got ready, dressed, and we walked probably 2 to 3 blocks away from the church. We walked to the church. We got there, and guess who was there? Only the preacher. my memory says, I guess those people with cars couldn't get out, right? But we walked those 2.5 blocks, and we had church that morning with the pastor. My next memories at the Kingston Avenue Church was ringing the bell. You know, there was a big bell in the belfry. And I can still remember when they would let us do that with help. You would grab that rope and you'd pull it down, and then that bell would pull you back up. And as a child, you were lifted off the ground, which was excitement, you know. But I remember many times being allowed to ring the bell in the belfry. I said, I remember playing behind the church. There was a little area up on the hill above the church. We had so many good picnics and times up there as youth. I remember I was baptized in that church. That's how I found my Lord and Savior. I remember we had Bible school there. For some reason, I don't seem to hear or see the Bible schools like we had back then. We were in the basement. We had refreshments. We were running all through the yard and sharing with each other and loving each other. And I know we were being taught about the Lord. The church is located down on Kingston Avenue. Some of you might remember at one time after we lost it, there was a fire station there, then the fire station closed, and now they're refurbishing that building. It's on the left as you go down Kingston Avenue. You would see that. I don't know what they're going to do with it, but they're still working on it. I started my scouting career in that church with Troop Number Troop 203. And some people have asked me about my scouting career, and I will tell you that that is probably the biggest excitement, the most loved thing that I've ever done was Boy Scouts. I still work with them today. I can't quite work with the boys. I don't have that patience like I used to have, but I do work with the adults. I do sit in on interviews or reviews with their ranks, and I love it today. I'll never leave it. I know I asked my daughter one time, I said, I've got to put it in writing for you, but I said, when I pass, honey, I said, find one of my scout uniforms and put it on me. Put my scout cap there with me, and that's how I want you to remember me and my friends to remember me. Because, as I said, I've been scouting since I was 11 years old. There was a day came that Danny Bailey, he was a member of the church. Some of you that have been around a few years might remember Danny. And we were decorating that basement for a scout activity. And we couldn't find any tape to hang the streamers. And Danny said, no problem. And he goes and gets a candle and lights it. And we put candle wax on the wall and stick the streamers to the candle wax. Now you say, why do you bring that up? And you'll hear in a minute. It was interesting. But we got it done. And as we finished, we were going to leave and go to town. And there was a shortcut that you could take to get up to the sanctuary. And it was what they call through the boiler room, if you will. Dark room. As we started out, there was noise. Some noises were being made. We got, I guess, a little scared. And we hurried up those steps and into the sanctuary and looked around and left the sanctuary and went to town. Started to town, and we got down to the railroad tracks. And then we heard the sirens. We looked around, and we saw fire trucks. And we looked more, and there was smoke coming from the church that we had just left. Now, in my mind, I thought, boy, oh boy, did we set that church on fire. We are going to be in a heap of trouble. Because all I could think about was those candles we lit and all that candle wax we put on the walls. But later, it was in the investigation, it was discovered that it was from the boiler room. They said, probably that noise you heard as you were leaving, that's what happened. And we were fortunate that we were leaving and not probably staying there and doing more, because we might have been caught in it a little more than we'd like to have been. But anyway, we made it through that. And at that time, that's when the Kingston Avenue Methodist Church was invited to be part of the First Methodist Church in Rockwood. And they were just like not even a block, I don't guess, away from us. Goes back to the many, many years ago when the country was divided. But they asked us to come and join them, and we did. It was obvious that the church was not going to be, it could have been, but had to been, we would have had to been rebuilt from the ground up. The decision was made that, and they invited us to come live with them, be a part of their church, and become, I guess, First Methodist of Rockwood. And we did. And while we were there, we had so many good times as youth. I look around and there's not many of the youth left, okay, that I ran around with. So many of them they've moved on. They've not all passed, but so many of them have moved away from Rockwood and they're gone. And it just kind of I don't know, just it'll just always be a memory in my mind of us being here together as youth. Before we got to come over here, though, we were all running around one day at the educational building, which originally was the parsonage for that church, and it became an educational building and Sunday school rooms. And we were running around all playing, this young girl, we were chasing each other, and I got chased into the front room, and this girl, she said, "I'm going to kiss you," and I said, "No, you're not." And I backed up to this window, not thinking, and as she came forward, I moved backwards, and my foot went right through the window. Well, needless to say, I didn't get a kiss that day, okay? And I remember Mr. Hughes, some of you might remember him, I remember that he replaced that window and asked me if I would come and help, and I did, and we replaced that broken window. Again, all the things, you know, that I remember from my church family. And so many times I wish people today could, a lot of people could think of it in that way. Later on, we built this church. It was during my high school years. I can't say how the great times we had. I can remember when this church, these pews were full. And on special occasions, believe it or not, we'd put chairs on each side of the pews. I don't know how we got down those aisles, but I remember chairs being there, and because we'd have such an overflow. I remember we had Sunday night service. We had Wednesday night service. And I remember we had, at Leah, I can't remember the name of the church. It was another church in the community. They didn't have Wednesday night service, and they came here and joined us for Wednesday nights. And again, I look out. I do it in the choir a lot. And I see where those people sat that were a key part of the church, a key part of my life. And so many times, it warms my heart, but yet I struggle with it at times. The best one, one of the best memories is right over here on my left, on your right, Christine Grant. Now, some of you don't, of course, wouldn't know Christine. Some of you do. But Miss Christine sat over there, and one Sunday we were singing. And again, we had a pretty good crowd in here. They finished the song. I don't remember if it was Ed Gibson was leading, who was leading the singing that day. And boy, she jumped up. She said, excuse me, we did not sing that song like the Lord wants us to sing it. We need to sing it again. Organist or the pianist, I don't remember what was being played, but they started playing it. He started singing. And you would not have believed the sound that came out of this church, because they realized that, yes, we weren't singing. A lot of people were singing low, probably some weren't. But I never will forget Miss Christine and that hand waving. Excuse me, we didn't sing like the Lord wanted us to sing. And then life moved on. It was my junior and senior year that John Weichel was the pastor here. He was my mentor. I was struggling and thinking that I wanted to be a minister. And I had done a sermonette for Easter time. You know, found it last year. It was so neat to find that. What's even more neat is I'm not sure who made all those all those changes in there and corrected my spelling and that kind of thing, but that's neat to look at too, to see where changes were made and spelling corrections were made. And one day, it's an Easter sermonette, and I said, one day, maybe next Easter, I'm going to talk to the pastor and see if I could share these words with you, because as I read them and looked over them, they're all about Easter, and they're heartwarming. They're heartwarming. I talked to the pastor, and I said, hey,
what do I need to do? I said, I really feel like I want to be a pastor, but I'm struggling with it. And I remember John looked at me and he said, Larry, you don't want to be a pastor unless God calls you to be a pastor. So he said, pray about it. Work on another sermonette for me and let me know how it goes. And I tried. I remember Mom and Dad were gone one weekend and I had books on that kitchen table, Bibles, study guides, paper, you name it, I had it. And I sat at that table and I worked, and then I'd go somewhere and do something. I'd come back and I worked. But I never could get that sermonette on paper. And that's when I said to myself, and I talked to John Michael later, and I said, God's not calling me. I said, He's just not calling me. And he said, then don't go into the ministry. Let God put you where He wants you. And He did. Over the years, I've worked a lot of different areas, and I've done a lot of different things, and I think that's what God wanted me for. I really do. Not many of us left from the original church today. I see a few. I remember it was funny one time. A lot of you know Rollin Fuller, and Rollin passed away a few years ago. But Rollin and I were friends, and we were all talking about the church one day, and I said something to Rollin about the older people in the church, and he looked at me and he said, Larry, I said, what? He said, we are getting to be the older people in the church. And I guess we just didn't want to accept that, but we were. And that was a memory. These are memories from my days in the church that I'm sharing. Then I remember one night, this was a good one, Rollin and I, we couldn't get a date on Saturday night, so we decided to run around, and we did. And we went by Archie's Drive-In, a little drive-in in town. A lot of you new folks don't probably remember or know where Archie's was, but it was a nice little drive-in. We went over there, and car hop came up, and we got to talking, and she needed a ride home after midnight. And I said, well, I'll give you a ride home. Well, that was really dumb, wasn't it? I'm in probably, well, junior. I had to be a junior, probably. Could have been a senior, but I believe it was junior year. So I said, hey, Rollin, take me home and help me push the car off, because I don't want to wake Mom and Daddy up, because they're not going to be happy with me coming in late. Once again, boy, that was some real good thinking, wasn't it? So Rollin helped me. We pushed it off, rolled down the hill on Front Street, started it, went over, picked her up. We drove around. I took her home. I don't remember what time it was. It was late. I remember turning and coming up Front Street, and you got to appreciate the old days, and I could see that the front porch light was on. And I said, oh, this is not going to be good, and it wasn't. Dad was waiting for me on the porch. He had a lot of choice words to say to me. He was not happy. I can still remember Mama saying, let him in. Get in the house. Get in the house. But the biggest thing he told me, he said, son, I hope you know you're getting up in the morning and you're going to church. I don't care how late it is, you're going to church. And I said, yep, Dad, I hear you. He took my keys too that day, and I lost keys for a while. But I was at church the next morning. Believe me, I was here. Mom and Dad were, they were at church on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. We were always here at church. I remember my grandfather passed, and he had not been a Christian man in his earlier years. He became a Christian. John Weichel called Daddy one day, and he said, hey, he said, I just lost his name. That's another thing I do as I mature. But he said, he's found the Lord. And he said, it's so great. And after that, Daddy said, you know, we never could miss church then, because Grandpa was here on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, and anytime something was happening. He didn't have a car, so he called Dad, Arville, you going to pick me up for church? So Dad said, I lost all excuses to ever even think about not coming to church, which was pretty rare. And so Grandpa got us there. Another great thing I remember was Martha Rogers. Some of you don't remember Martha or don't know the Rogers. But one day in Sunday school, Martha, she had a class, and I was not in agreement with her. We had, as she said, let's decide to agree to disagree. But afterwards, in the hallway, she came and put her arm around me. She leaned into me and she said, "Larry, know that we don't agree, but know that I will always love you. Always." And again, that has stayed with me forever. It was okay for us to disagree about something, but the fact was, she always loved me, and I always loved her. Things went on. I'll try to quicken it up. I'm running out of time, aren't I? One big memory I have, and I wanted to share with you, and we'll make that the last one, was I was in college. Alice and I were engaged. It was our freshman year. I had two other friends. We were dating. Alice was going to Tennessee Wesleyan, so we all went to Tennessee Wesleyan one weekend for a concert. And we were coming back late Sunday evening, and I had to pick up another rider to take to Tech. And one of the guys said, "Larry," said, "we'll take a shortcut down here." I said, "Okay." And he said, when we got on the shortcut, and it was a country road, he said, "Now watch, because there's a one-lane wooden bridge on this road. So every curve, I'd slow down. Nothing." And you know, he finally said, "You know, Larry, it must be another shortcut I'm thinking about." So you know what happened? I speeded up, and I found the bridge. I lost control of the car. We went into the creek, turned upside down. I thought I could get out by opening the door. I couldn't. We were submerged in that creek. They called it a creek. I felt like it was a river, but it was a creek. But I remember running out of breath. I couldn't get out. All I could feel was glass. Found out later I was in the back of the car. We didn't have seat belts back then, so I had gone to the back, and I was laying in that back where the back window was. Didn't have a clue. But what I remember was I saw Alice, I saw my mom, and I saw my dad. They were just there. And I couldn't take a breath anymore. It was gone. And I remember saying, "I'm yours, Lord. I can't hold on any longer." And about that time, I felt a tug on my leg, another tug, and they said I came out of the water and went 10 foot in the air. And my friends saved me. Not only my friends, but God saved me. He still had plans. And here I am today. I've gone through lots of issues in my life, but God's always been there for me. My recent marriage to Mary, I give to God. We've been friends forever. We look at each other sometimes and say, are we really married to each other? And we know that it was God's plan. God, He wanted that to happen. And I'm a firm believer that God has plans for us. Sometimes we let Satan get in between those plans. But in my life, God has been there many, many times. So I thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. I'm sorry if I've talked too much. Some people say I do that. I can't believe it. Right, Mary? I don't talk too much. But it was so enjoyable to talk to you, my church family, because that's what you are. I remember many a time coming here on Sunday morning. If I had not been here with my church family, you, I don't know if I'd have made it the next week. That's what gave me the hope and the go forth to go out and make another week. So that's what you mean to me. That's what this church means to me, and you, my church family, means to me. So I thank you. I thank you so much. And I guess now we'll, you want to do a quick closing hymn? Okay.
Let's stand and do Blessed Assurance, please.
Thank you.